This morning we're reading from Paul's second letter to Timothy, there in the last chapter, beginning at verse 6. As for me, I am already being poured out as a libation, and the time of my departure has come. I have fought the good fight, I have finished the race, I have kept the faith. From now on, there is reserved for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will give me on that day, and not only to me, but also to all who have longed for his appearing. And then in verse 16, at my first defense, no one came to my support, but all deserted me. May it not be counted against them. But the Lord stood by me and gave me strength so that through me the message might be fully proclaimed and all the Gentiles might hear it. So I was rescued from the lion's mouth, and the Lord will rescue me from every evil attack and save me for his heavenly kingdom. To him be glory forevermore. Amen. Have you noticed the meme or the saying that's floating around today that says, I can't adult today? Maybe not if you're not all over Facebook and other places that people share their inner feelings. The expression has been stenciled on t-shirts and laminated on paper and posted on office walls and even kiln-fired on coffee mugs. I can't adult today. Sounds clumsy in its unconventional use of adult as a verb. But it's not hard to get what the saying means. At the moment, I am incapable of being a responsible grown-up. Sometimes we just want to hit the pause button on all the duties of adulthood. A blogger who was also a pastor and a writer referred to this not long ago in a blog post titled, I Can't Christian Today. Only in his case, he wasn't trying to be funny or sardonic. After declaring I can't Christian today, he added, I can no longer be tethered to this thing that is so toxic and so painful to so many. I can't wade through the more bad theology and pedantic behavior from the pulpit pounding pastors who seem only and solely burdened to exclude, wound, and harm the people that are listening. I can't shift through this malice and this bitterness masquerading as Christianity to try to find what is left of the worth of keeping. Wow, that's a discouraged pastor. He continued in that tone and quickly became apparent that he'd had his fill of people who were Christians in name only. But weren't, in his view, demonstrating the love of Jesus in their actions. He wondered if Christianity was helpful anymore. It's easy these days to see us versus them mentality to which he's alluding. It surfaces in most denominations these days as the followers of Jesus squabble over what serving him should look like and how the Bible should be applied. The them may be the evangelical labels or as conservatives and reactionary, and the us, on the other hand, may be progressives and generally more liberal or vice versa. With such rapid partisanship at play today, it is not surprising that some would endorse the conclusion that the blogger suggests and agree that today it is more helpful for the followers of Jesus to identify themselves as Christians. The Apostle Paul had no such... I left a negative out of that sentence. It is not helpful for the followers of Jesus today to identify themselves as Christians. The Apostle Paul had no such reservations, friends. He, too, was distressed at the behavior of some who called themselves Christians. And among these people, Paul minced no words. Keep an eye on those who cause dissensions and offenses. In the opposition to the teaching that you have learned, avoid them. For such people do not serve our Lord Jesus Christ, but their own appetites, and by smooth talk and flattery, they deceive the hearts of the simple-minded. He said in his letter to the Romans. These troublemakers were probably those who argued that Christians, whether Gentile or Jew, must observe all Jewish religious customs, including circumcision. But Paul countered that new Christians need not do such a thing. So, of course, he didn't like that some other Christian teachers argued otherwise. Nonetheless, despite how Paul felt about those folks, he was convinced the misapplied gospel. He freely identified himself as a follower of Jesus above all else. To the Philippians, he wrote, "It is my eager expectation and hope that I will not be put to shame in any way, that by my speaking with all boldness, Christ may be exalted now and always in my body, whether by life or by death. For me, living is Christ, and dying is gain." It's impossible to imagine Paul getting up one morning and declaring, "I can't Christian today." We just can't see that. Not in Paul. And then there's our text, which the New Testament identifies as being from Paul to Timothy, in which Paul apparently is sensing the end of his life is drawing near. "I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith." He got to this place in his thinking by getting up day after day with the attitude that he could serve Christ that day. He's facing death, not a death by natural causes, but he's still able to say, "Hey, another day to be a Christian. I can Christian today." And the "them" may be the evangelical label. I'm sorry. I printed page 2 twice. "Hey, another day to be a Christian. I can Christian today." Well, what about us sitting here in Philadelphia in the Ron Hurst Presbyterian Church? What are we saying? Do we ever get so troubled by how some people behave in the name of Christ that they, as church professionals or as ordinary people, that we don't want outsiders to think those people represent what Christian means? How do we feel when political figures wanting our votes claim to be Christians while espousing ideas so far afield from what Jesus would advocate? How do we feel about our fellow Christians who support such politicians? Today, Christians are splintered into many divisions and many factions. Not only are we divided into numerous numbers of denominational camps, we're divided by various and sundry political and cultural boundaries. For many, these boundaries are far more important than the denominational ones or the doctrinal ones. Whatever position we can take on immigration policy, or on a border wall, or same-sex marriage, or presidential politics, Supreme Court nominations, abortion, welfare, legalization of marijuana, some Christians will immediately call into question our relationship with Jesus Christ. Let me say that again. Whatever positions we take, when this happens, some say, well, if that's what it means to be a Christian, I want no part of it. Or they may simply say, I'm done, I can't Christian today. When we say this, of course, we immediately become one of the partisans that we actually don't like. Let's take a clue from the odd phrasing using Christian as though it's a verb. While in standard use, Christian normally is a noun or an adjective, but in practice, it's actually a verb, a word used to identify an action. The truth is that while there are millions of Christians who do not want to be associated with Christians of questionable views, politics, or practices, those same millions are out there nonetheless Christianing day after day, serving God faithfully in our troubled world. They are building hospitals and schools. They are developing programs to lift the poor and help the needy. They are helping out at their local church. They are working with refugees and helping them get housing and learn English. They are counseling low-functioning adults. They are tutoring teens with a need to improve their academics. They are delivering meals to the elderly, and they are leading Bible studies at nursing homes. When people are engaged in these activities, we don't ask them, which creed you recite, or do you believe this way or that way? We're simply grateful that there's someone out there Christianing in our communities and among the people we've known for years. And they aren't going to let their work get derailed by those who, in their opinions, are misguided, immature Christians babbling about nonsense in the public arena. The remedy for those who say, I can't Christian today, is to go to a homeless shelter and ladle some soup or do something similar. Make Christian a verb. Or as Paul put it to Timothy in the letter before us, do your best to present yourself to God as one approved by Him, a worker who has no need of being ashamed. We can also take a clue from something the resurrected Jesus said during breakfast conversation with Peter on the shores of Galilee. It is the last recorded interaction we have between Jesus and Peter. After Jesus renewed his call to Peter to serve him, Peter looked at another disciple and asked Jesus, Lord, what about him? And Jesus replied, if it is my will that he remain until I come, what is that to you? Follow me. In other words, what is it to you that some don't interpret Christianity as you do? And I'm talking to you, not to them. You are to follow me. There are seven words to remember when we get distressed with other Christians. What is that to you? Follow me. That's the invitation of our Lord. Print this out, laminate it, tape it up on your office wall, put it over the stove in the kitchen, or maybe over the sink in the kitchen. Go online, find a cross, Photoshop the words in, post it, print it, write it on a sticky note, put it on your laptop, whatever. But the question to all of us is, what is that to you? Jesus says, follow me. Jesus questions our questioning each other. What is that to you? Follow me. Yes, there are times, friends, as faithful Christians, that we must rebuke those whose views and actions actually discredit Christianity. Prophets are needed in every century and in every place in the world. The thing is that currently there is no shortage of prophets. The prophetic word is already out there. In fact, today we have competing schools of prophecy. And they're shouting back and forth with each other in the public square is not hard to miss. Not hard at all. So rebuking the standing against the warnings and so on pretty much covered right now. That could always change. But right now, we're good with the prophetic ministry. So maybe it would be better to close our mouths and open our hearts, to be the hands of Christ reaching out in a fallen world in practical ways, instead of shouting the message. So maybe in our fallen world, a soft whisper might be heard before a loud voice. Christ calls us to be people who say, I can follow Jesus today. I can Christian today. We may not need more squabbling Christians in this world, but we need more of Christ in the world. And that is up to us with God's help. That's what enables us, when the end comes, to say with Paul, I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith. Amen.